Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn the importance of filing your FinCEN if you haven't done it already, why doing your own root canal is a really bad idea, generational ownership perspectives, and generational legacy, the business or the cash.
Our guest today is Elisa Ruhr, a Gen X attorney who will change how you think about lawyers. Elisa shares her perspective on why experts are an important part of every business. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back, Brad, to Blue Collar BS. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle, as you are in the Motor City of Detroit, as we are sitting here on this Friday in January. I'm sure that if there's a victory on Sunday, you probably need a fire extinguisher.
There's probably going to be a lot of couches burned in somewhere.
So prepare appropriately if there's a victory on Sunday in San Francisco.
I just want to know, Brad, at your house, do all your neighbors know what such a Lions fan you really are? Like, does your house exude Lionism? That's what I want to know.
No, it does not. It does not.
Really? I mean, you're the fan.
No one cares here. They care if you're a Bears fan or a Vikings fan, then you get hated. No one cares that I'm a Lions fan. No one cares because it's like kitty cat. Meow. No big deal.
Because you're such a boomer. I mean, you've been the fan for what?
Wow.
500 years or so, last one?
Yeah. I do remember Billy Sims. So in case I can go back that far.
Billy Sims? Who's that?
Yeah. Okay. That's my point, you jackass.
Let's get going here.
All right.
Yeah. Who do we got on the show today, bro?
So our guest today is Elisa Ruhr. She is a lawyer here in the Milwaukee area. She's been practicing for 26 years, 6 years as corporate counsel for a title company, 5 years of mortgage company, then out on her own specializing in corporate law. And when she said, why do you want me on? I'm like, because you have some great insights to help our various demographics of our audiences. And she works with all demographics. So let's see what they're thinking when it comes to legal concerns. Because at the end of the day, every one of our audience listeners, if you own your own business, you need counsel and you better find one because you're better to pay them now than to pay them later. So welcome to the show, Elisa. How are you today?
Thank you for
having me. Awesome. So, Elisa, before I forget, which generation do you best fit in with, identify with?
I am Generation X. I was born in 1965.
Oh, wow. So, right. I mean, Brad is, I'm saying that. Oh, wow. Because you're
see, like, fit so in with
Brad. No, because you see, Brad is like in the 50s. I'm in the 70s. You're right in the middle. It's great.
Whatever, Steve.
Brad loves it when I do this to him.
Oh, wow. To our guest. That's not a way to welcome our guest, Steve.
See, I just love the fact that she's like right in between because you're in the 50s, right?
Sure. Whatever. You're going to be that guy today, aren't you?
I am that guy today.
Okay, perfect. How about you ask a question, Steve? Let's start there.
So how did you get started in wanting to get into law and more on the side of business law?
I was in my 30s when I went to law school. Prior to that, I had worked fast food for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then I went I always worked and went to school.
That's where the Panda Express comes from. I got it now.
I've got it. Started Orange Julian. And so basically I think the biggest impact was I always liked reading and I liked learning things. And then I started working at the old Alles Chalmers, which was Siemens Power Corp when I was there, in the labor department. And I worked with the union. I handled all the grievances. And I just liked that atmosphere. I liked the corporate atmosphere. And I liked reading contracts. And that's what when you do grievances for unions, all you do is read contracts all day.
No.
That was what I did. And then they sent in, we were negotiating a contract and they brought in the lawyers. And I'm like, I think I want to be a lawyer so I can do this. So that's how I ended up going to law school.
Cool. And then, so today's practice, you're doing mostly what and working with whom?
Mostly, I work with people that are buying or selling a business or starting a business. So we're structuring how they're going to be set up at LLC, a corporation. I have a lot of people that they've owned businesses for years and they realize they need an attorney now. I review a lot of contracts for people. A lot of people come to me after they've gotten in trouble and then we have to work backwards to get them in order. So, and I have a diverse group of people. Mostly I have baby boomers and Generation X people. The millennials are not coming as much. And I actually talked to one of my CPA friends this morning about this because they're all DIY. So they're all doing templates off of the internet. They're doing searches. So mostly I have people that are, again, it's the baby boomers and the Generation X.
Okay. So you talked about helping organizations, you know, figure out what path forward from those things. So with the new laws coming in for declaring, you know, who you are, what business you're doing and all those other things, the new financial reporting records for new businesses starting and for existing businesses, what do you have to say to those younger kids, right? All these young kids that are going out and starting their opportunity to go get this money and we're going to do this and we're going to just go and have it go through our, we'll just pay John and John will take care of it as just cash income, or they'll get a check to John. What's in store if they fail to realize that they actually have a business, not just a transaction when that business owner comes to ask them for their 1099 so that they can go and pay them at the end of the year next year when it happens? So what advice do you got to those Gen Zers that are out gigging it, I guess?
The problem is that it will cost you less to get set up correctly than it will to not spend that money when people come at you, because the last thing you want, it isn't the IRS you're worried about. It's the department, especially Wisconsin Department of Revenue. They will knock on your door and it's not a joke. So I always tell people, I understand that everyone thinks attorneys are expensive and we're not all that expensive, but that at the end of the day, if you don't have everything in order, it's going to cost you more money later on, especially now with FinCEN, which you mentioned before, Brad, we had talked about it. That's serious. That's the federal government. It's one thing to set up. People go online. We all know we can set that up in 3 minutes. You can set up an LLC, a corporation. It's the other two parts are at the EIN number. Everyone knows how to get that. It's that you need an operating agreement or a shareholders agreement. That's key, especially money. And then second is with that FinCEN, which just kicked in January 1st. That's not a joke. You have got to register. If you're setting up a new LLC or corporation, you have to do it within the 90 days. If you set up something prior to January 1st of this year, you have until the end of December of this year to do that. But it's not a joke anymore. It's serious. The penalties are huge.
They're massive.
So you don't want to mess that up, and it will cost you far more money to have my firm partner's a litigator to have us defend you. That's where we make our money. I don't bring in any money. When you mess up and you come to me too late, here's the money, Maya.
Right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned operating agreement and documents of incorporation, all those fun things. And how, when you are working with your business owners, because I know you work with a lot of tradesmen as well, you know, HVAC contractors and manufacturing owners and things like that. When they're out there trying to transfer those relationships to their kids, or, you know, they've got a young individual that might be starting up and they bring you their www.ididitmyself.com documents, what's some of the things that, how open are they to your suggestions and ideas, or what's that interaction looking like today as you go across the generations?
It depends. I had one last week where he owns with his father, and the father's had the business since 1946. And my client, he's been filing with his CPA and everything. He owns 50% interest, but they don't have anything showing that because it's family. And so he just went to buy a $2 million building and he's trying to get a loan and they've got nothing showing that over the years he's taken this. So he was very receptive. He's great. Because he wants the building and the lender needed it. So I said, we can work backwards. You know, we can draft an agreement, a document that says we're missing this, but this is what it is. And everybody signs it. Where it gets messy is two parts. One is when you're going to sell it to a third party that's unrelated and their attorney, when I'm on the buyer side, I want to make sure there's nobody out on the street that thinks they have an interest or does have an interest, and we're unaware of it. Or you get in a fight with your partner that, you know,
come on.
You both love each other.
Come on.
You love each other today. You love each other today, but you're better off spending a couple hours with me and let's talk about all the nastiness and the ugliness. Get it on paper so that when it's time to leave each other, you've got it written down and there's no fighting.
Audience members, notice how she said when, not if.
Always, always.
When yep. The partnership. So one of the things that we learned, Steve and I, as we were going through some activities and some training, always know how to get out before you get in.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. Exactly.
Yep.
You have to know that there's an end game, and it's easier to do it now when you're both getting along and you're starting off than later on when things are not going well. And that's where the money comes in. That's where, if you know, if you've got a company that's worth a couple $100,000 and you're fighting, it's going to cost you that much to fight. You're better off just shutting it down. And it's sad to watch people do that. So you're much better off paying us a little bit of money now to make sure that you've got that relationship tied up.
Right.
And how are you seeing the transition of family businesses today and their willingness to let the son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or whomever take control versus being told what to do in that whole process and different things? What do you see as you have multiple generations at the table in typically very, some one side might be very euphoric, the other side might be very tense, and because it's how their identity.
That's an interesting point. I find that with my baby boomers, those people have worked hard their whole life to build up their business, and they are I'm going to say the fathers or the parents are honored to be able to transfer to their children. Their children have been working in the business, and the parents are happy to transfer it over. It's exactly what they plan to happen. Sometimes you got to remind them that they're transferring over and they're not going to have as much control, but it's a different mindset. They've killed themselves basically to be able to have an asset to transfer. Mm-hmm. Generation X is interesting because those parents, the people, and I say that we have started these, their kids are not interested and they know it. And so they come to me like, here's the deal. You know, I have 7 sons. I had one a couple weeks ago, 7 sons, and nobody wants my, and it's HVAC company. I have a lot of those and nobody wants it. They're all doing different things. And he's got 2 sons that do HVAC work, but they're working for a huge company. They don't want to be up restless nights. They don't want to worry about money. They don't want to do it. They want to be able to go on vacation and not worry. And my Gen X parents, I'm going to say it that way so that no one accuses me of being sexist, but the fathers,
yeah, the truth hurts.
The truth does hurt. The fathers understand that and they're okay with it. They say, listen, I get it. My kids want to have a different life than I did and I understand it. So let's just sell it. Let's sell it. And then their attitude is really, it's refreshing because then we find a buyer, right? We get all that done. And they amass some wealth. They have some money, but they know that's going to end up with as a legacy to the children for the money. So they look at it different. And then it's not such a negative experience. My 7 sons one, I thought he was going to be very, very distressed. He's trying to get the 2 sons to take over it. And they're, dad, we don't want it. We don't want it. But it's all right. And the father's all right with it.
Did you gain any insight as to maybe why they didn't want to get involved at all in your conversations?
It was amazing. They both said they watched him not be able to go on vacation, not be able to do anything. Somebody would quit. He'd be out at 4 in the morning taking care of things that somebody else was supposed to do. To worry when somebody got sick. He had to worry. He had a couple people that have gotten hurt over the years. He felt terrible when a couple people go on work comp. He didn't care about the money. He worried about these people. They had families and they got hurt on the job. And mm-hmm. He felt that they had watched all of that. They had watched him come home. They had watched it when he was worried about money. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to just go in, punch in, do a good job, and then punch out at the end of the day and not worry about it. And it was interesting with him because he was fine with it. He said, I want them to have a better life than I did. I want them to have a better mm-hmm. sense of just of peace, I guess, was what at the end of the day was what he said.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting that the observation is there. And we see that quite often, that whole we don't want to do what dad did type scenario. And the hard part is to eventually have them understand it doesn't have to be the way dad did it. They can do it differently. They could do it differently. They could make a difference in a different way and run it differently. Dad may not like it, but you could do it differently.
And that's, it's every once in a while, we'll bring that up to people when they're talking about, you know, one of the children wants it and the others don't. And then there's a fight about that. How is that going to take on that? We still want to have an ownership interest, but we don't want to be there every day. And the parents do get involved in that. And it's interesting to watch different children, types of children. Some of them listen to the parents, right? They go ahead and listen and they're going to work it out. This one with the HVAC and the Susan, it's interesting. They just don't want it. They just don't want it. And, but you're right. They definitely, there's other ways to work. Not everybody has to work. I mean, in the legal profession, it is completely changed. Brad's my business coach, full disclosure. So we talked about this, how I have to change who I am.
No, adapt, not change, adapt.
Okay, I have to adapt to what type of people and how they work. You know, when we went to school and we work, it's 24/7, whatever. It's not that way anymore. So it's no different in our profession than it is in any other.
Right. So one of the things I want to kind of circle back to, because it kind of caught me off guard a little bit as you mentioned it. So if it caught me off guard, I'm pretty sure it's going to catch a lot of our trade owners off guard if they're not necessarily familiar with it because they're so busy doing the thing. When you talked about having an, go back to the new laws that changed, that, so there's those that when you set up this year, there's a lot of stuff you have to do, but then you made a comment, oh, if you've previously set one up, you get a leeway. So if you don't mind, can you help break that down of, for those that with established businesses, what is the requirement that they need to be aware of? And kind of like, what are the, at a high level, like what are the steps that they need to do? And obviously we would encourage them to turn to somebody like you for that help.
So, and I will, I'm going to preface with the most of your, anyone who owns a business that works with a CPA, they've been sending letters out. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is if you set up a corporation, even a nonprofit or an LLC prior to January 1st of 2024, you have until December 31st to file an online report, as it's called the Beneficial Ownership Interest Act. And you have to file a report online with FinCEN. Basically, you're going to outline who you are, who actually owns, because a lot of times everybody knows this. We layer things, right? I'm not buying that building. My LLC is. And then sometimes my corporation is the member of the LLC.
Right.
That's all. You can do that, right? We can still structure this from here to the moon with eight. But the beneficial ownership interest that you're filing with FinCEN is going to have your name in it. You also have to upload a passport or a valid driver's license. And you have to give a lot of information. And you got to do that by the end of the year. So I would say in the first 3 weeks, we did not send out letters. I talk to my clients all the time.
Yeah.
And my clients, even, I'm going to say they all, every a lot of people know about it. And every time I talk to somebody I've worked with, I remind them, and we are going to send out a letter in March. But they're aware of it. And what I said is we're holding off until about, we're going to start in March, maybe April or May, and see what happens. There's been some little glitches. Not till the end of the year, there's no need for us to have to rush into it.
Right.
But it's a lot of very important information, and you got to give it up. And if you don't, it's not as if you can say, I am not going to upload my driver's license, or the driver's license doesn't really match. I've got a problem because everything else is filed with your address. You're going to get yourself in trouble. So the lawyer that we are, we're going to have you sign an affidavit that says that we're loading up what you're giving us and you're telling us the truth. But you're going to have to give up who you are. And there's no more hiding behind it. And that's what's going to happen. So if you're someone who set up an LLC before, you can, and I tell everybody, call your accountant, call your CPA. If you've got an attorney, call your attorney, and they'll be able to help you to file that. I have a couple clients who called me. They did it on their own a couple weeks ago when it first started. And it's fine. You just have to, you have to make sure that you're not, and I'm smiling because you cannot lie. Don't misrepresent because they're going to make a point of some people and they're going to start auditing, and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
Right.
Well, I think we can put the fincen.gov/BOI link into our show notes for those that might be listening at that point in time as well as a friendly reminder.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because that business owner's had his business for 35 years. Right. What's this new thing? Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. No, no. I don't care if you've owned it 35 years or 3 years. Go do the thing because it's going to be imperative. So on that, I don't necessarily want to go all the way down that path, but do you think that at some point that the FinCEN documentation will be tied to those EINs as to whether or not a transaction can occur through SBA lending and things like that?
My very good friend.
Somebody's studying.
Yeah, he is. Okay. I do. I think that not right now, but I think at some point, because you do get a filer number after you file it. I think that SBAs, and you know how they, everybody knows this when you're going for SBA in some conventional, the bank wants the articles of incorporation or organization, shareholders bylaws, or the operating agreement in your EIN, which is the SS4. And they're now going to ask for the FinCEN evidence. They're not going to touch it if they don't have it. And I think also that's going to be a good protection for a lot of people that if they didn't think about it and now they're refinancing or they're trying to get some more money or they're trying to sell their business, they're going to have to go in and register it then. And then the question is, what are the fines and penalties going to be?
A lot.
That 3 years later. Yes. And have you then red flagged yourself? So that's, it's kind of the same thing, not to go off course, but with the EIDL loan, when everybody was taking those out, no one really thought too much. Like, it's a lot of money. It's for 30 years. It's at this rate. This is great. Well, now all these people, as I turn and look at 15 files, are trying to sell their business. And if you owe more than like $25,000 at EIDL, you can't just sell that business, stock or asset. You need to get approval from the SBA. I feel like this is the same thing where people are going to get caught at some point. They're going to have to figure it out.
So anybody that's over 42 years old listening to the show and have that business, be aware, you've been warned, you know, and the younger folks that are self-serve, you should have already known this. And if you haven't, go figure it out. Do not listen to grandpa or grandma or dad say, oh yeah, just do that LLC online for $135 and not do this because it's going to be a problem. Alisa, so everybody's kind of afraid to talk to a lawyer in many cases. And like you said, you have this generational gap of differences to the acceptance of information because everybody's got their phone. So why should I pay legal counsel when I can just do my Google search and use googlelaw.com to be my, counsel? What piece of advice would you give to those Gen Zs, those millennials, the Gen Xers and the boomers that are afraid to pay for expertise?
Well, it's this, I mean, you have to have a CPA, right? I always tell people you can have an accountant.
Do you?
You got to have an accountant for a certain point, and then it's certain when you start making, and nothing against accountants, we use one. At a certain point, you need a CPA in there because of tax. There's things that you can, I'm not a CPA. I do a ton of research on certain things. I'm not at that level. So I need to get the expertise from someone else. So I always use the example, and this is not to say that we're equal to anyone, but you know, I don't want to have a new root canal, right? It's too expensive. You got to get that. I can Google how to do a root canal, believe it or not. I'm not going to do it. So you should not be drafting your
own. Do your own root canal, all right.
You can Google it how to do it, but do you do it? You don't.
It's a great analogy. I love it.
Okay, but it's
absolutely love it.
It's the same ideas that it's something that you can Google it. Trust
there's me. A business idea. That's but a great idea. You want to be a partner on that business? Do it yourself, root canal. Here's the kit.
But it isn't going to turn out well usually. So it's expensive. Nobody wants to spend that kind of money. It's a good example.
It's a great example.
But I think that there's other reasons. I think that people don't like to talk to attorneys. Not all attorneys charge you for every minute that they're on the phone. And a lot of times we really are trying to help you. I had somebody, Brad knows the story, where I had a young lady come to me, spent 4 hours with her. She needed a waiver because she was doing some cool sculpting with a non-cool sculpting doc, with a non-cool sculpting machine. She was less expensive. And I said, all right, I'll charge you $450. I'll change the waiver. You need a different waiver. She pulled one offline. I said, it's not. You need a few more things. I drafted it thinking she'd pay $450 for it. And she didn't. And 3 years later, she came back to me and she burned somewhat. And so it had to go to my firm partner. She also hadn't listened to me about getting insurance. We're not going to talk. Had to go to my firm partner next door and ended up costing her, she was sued $950,000. She had to file bankruptcy and they lost their house, which is unusual.
Wow.
There's more to this. But she burned a 24-year-old female all across the stomach. So now that 29-year-old, that female now has permanent damage, and all because she wanted to save $450. And we've talked about it. We've talked about it. And I always took it personally. Like, why did you not listen to me? What about me? And she said, I just didn't think I needed it. And I feel like I made a mistake on it. But she said, I talked to my firm partner after everything was over, right? I was involved, but I said, would she have been sued? He said, she would have been sued. They sue everyone. But you had the language in the one that you drafted that would have saved her. So I always kind of take it personally if you're not going to listen to me, because I'm like, why would you not listen to me? So right. I think that it's worth it, especially there's a lot of contracts. I've got a lot of people that they do work for other people and the contract doesn't have certain provisions. They'll pick and choose. Online is great. We all go online. I go online to get language sometimes from different. AT&T has the best contract, 90-page contract you're ever going to see. You can steal from there for certain things. But at the end of the day, you can't cut and paste if you don't know what you're cutting and pasting.
Right.
Then your provisions conflict with each other. Or I get a lot of people that are buying a franchise and they decide they don't want to pay me to review anything or draft anything. And that's fine. That's fine. So then they come back to me a year or two later with an issue. And I realize, I say, send me the shareholders agreement or the operating agreement. And it's got their names, but nobody signed it. And there's no provisions filled in, or it's from a different state. And I'm like, really, I'm not that expensive. Like, it would have saved you all these problems and all these issues. So I don't know if people are afraid or they just, listen, you don't want to spend money on our canal. You don't want to spend money taking your car in for certain things. It's just certain things you have to do.
Right. It's the cost of being a business owner at the end of the day. In order to protect the risk and, you know, your example of the person that ended up losing their house, they didn't think the risk was worth it to spend the $450 until it was. So that's a great example for people to understand. So so Elisa, how do people find your great content and wit and wisdom out in the world? Where do they find you? How do they get a hold of you if they want to talk to you more about different things?
I'm on LinkedIn. Has all my contact information, and then our website is practesplaw.com. I pick my battles with my firm partner. I should have picked the battle on the name. I didn't at the time, but that's what the name is.
Yeah, you know, sometimes,
right?
Pick and choose.
It's like we're the Millers. No regrets, not even a letter. Are you sure? Just with a tattoo.
No regrets.
Right, exactly. thank you, Elisa, for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and the importance of the FinCEN coming forward, as well as just letting people know that it's important to engage and find somebody that they can work with to get that knowledge and that expertise, because it's going to eliminate a lot of risk.
Thank you.
So, thank you for being here today, and have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.